Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff answering questions emailed to me about Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism. I do this every week or two, depending on the questions I get and my own work schedule. If you want to ask me a philosophical question, feel free. Just send it to leonard@peikoff.com. And my name is spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F.
Let's start today with a question I want quickly to correct a person's thought on. Question: would you feel that people who are not convinced of Dim's merit, that's my theory of culture and history, who are not convinced of Dim's merit should not call themselves objectivists, just as people who do not vote Democratic, as you said, do not truly understand objectivism as applied to the real world? So in other words, if you don't agree with me on the Dim theory, it's wrong to call yourself objectivist? That is fantastic. Dim is a theory of mine which is controversial, which has never been presented objectively as a whole, never, not in any format. Is a technical theory in many ways, which would require a real understanding of technical epistemology. It's simply irrelevant whether a person agrees or disagrees or doesn't even know about it to his status as an objectivist. Now, if you ask, is it a part of objectivism? I have to say no. It's a theory of mine which I regard as a valid application of objectivism. But objectivism is the philosophy defined by Ayn Rand, and obviously I never discussed this theory with her. Who decides what a valid application? Well, you have to decide for yourself according to your understanding of objectivism and your use of logic from that point of view. I think, obviously, that it's a valid application, and that if you accept objectivism all the way, you will end up accepting my theory. But to say somebody not convinced of it wouldn't call themselves objectivist, you know, much as I admire my theory, I would never dream of saying such a thing. Now, here's a big question on politics. I'm trying to minimize questions on politics, but every once in a while I have to do it because it's a lot of them come in. You advocated shunning Republicans at the polls, even if it was a better type of politician. Why shouldn't you take into account the candidate's own views, regardless of the rest of his party? Or do you assume that party politics plays a larger role than men independently voting according to their own standard? And I agree with this last point, that the party politics is much more influential than any individual man's beliefs or votes. That's true today, it wasn't always so. Because both parties in our advanced mixed economy are necessarily affiliated, formally or otherwise, with large pressure groups. That's the mass base that elects them. So to keep their base satisfied, the parties, especially when they're in office, have to use their powers to advance their group's causes. And this is true no matter what individuals, with what ideas, hold what offices in the system. A Democratic president, for example, could not meaningfully offend labor unions in speech or in action, even if he personally were a thorough pro-capitalist, because the rest of the party and its cohorts would turn against him, and he simply loses power. Besides, if he announced his views clearly before the election, he'd never get elected today. And if he muffled them to win, he'd spark a revolt denouncing him as a liar, and that would be a just revolt. Now, all of this applies to the Republican Party. They, at one time, when I was younger, were a pro-capitalist bastion. But their base now is not secular strivers after liberty. It's not even big business anymore. It's medieval Christian fundamentalists. Now, to assist a party which has turned from capitalism to medievalism, to help give them control of any branch of government, is to cast your vote for the leaders of the equivalent of the Jesus freaks as our next rulers. Now, of course, I have to add that many Democrats also profess to be religious, and that's another sign of the desperate state that we're in. But most of these men, I believe, thankfully, are insincere. They're just me-tooing the religious ones. It's the Republicans, as far as I can see, who really believe and push the church line. Now, you know, Republicans, too, are human and have free will. Someday they could change, but I have not seen any sign of it. The basic dichotomy in politics today, in my opinion, is not what it was 50 years ago, namely the individual versus the collective. Because since the collapse of socialism, this dichotomy, I don't deny that it's still operative, it's still important, but it's no longer the fundamental or most urgent political issue. Today, the issue is reason versus religion, with special emphasis on the danger of Christianity in all its forms. Now, if you have grounds to think that a man of reason, uncontaminated by affiliation with any party, major or minor, could get elected, maintain his integrity in office, and actually get something decent accomplished, then you should definitely vote for it. But you cannot expect any politician, including the president, to educate a country philosophically. How a man or a president votes is not going to convert people to a different, even political, let alone philosophical viewpoint. So all you got to hope in such a case, and if you find such a great person, please let me know so I could vote for him. All you could hope is that he would accomplish something. In the absence of a real educational base, though, he can't accomplish very much. I stress the importance of philosophy. You could have a candidate that agrees with you on a dozen different political issues, but does so on the basis of a philosophy which, if triumphant, would destroy capitalism. If so, you're hurting the cause that you want to triumph by the fact of voting for it. And that is my opinion of conservative religionists, and by the way, of libertarian candidates also. Actually, any candidate for quite a while, political candidate, because it's just too early, and I don't see anybody worth commenting on at this point. But I do get repeatedly this question about Ron Paul. Do you know anything about this man that would plausibly justify a vote for him? And I don't know anything about Ron Paul, so I wrote your own book. I said, could you tell me something that would be relevant to answer this question? And this, I'll read his answer, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Unfortunately, but not unpredictably, I have only bad news regarding Ron Paul. He ran for president once or twice as a libertarian before he switched to the Republican Party. His foreign policy is typically libertarian. He blames 9/11 on America. If only we disengage from the Middle East, bin Laden will leave us alone. On abortion, he, like many libertarians, believes it should be left up to the states to decide, i.e., he advocates democracy, not individual rights. And then he ends the letter, I could go on, three dots. I find very persuasive. I'm not ever going to say another thing about Ron Paul. I'm trying to find a shorter one here, but I can't. Everybody asks deep. Here's a short one. I am deeply disturbed by the issue of human trafficking and slavery throughout the world. Many of the victims are not United States citizens, but what role should the U.S. government play in rescuing such people? Now, the answer to that is straightforward. If the individual being enslaved is American, the government has a duty to rescue him. It's the whole purpose of government is to protect the rights of the individual from violation, either at home or abroad. If, however, the victim, the enslaved man, is non-American, then the opposite is true. The government has a duty not to intervene. The government is an agency paid for by the taxpayers and contracted to perform a specific function. It is not a world charity. It is not, its function is not to find every vicious abuse around the world and put an end to it. There's many monstrous things around the world. That is not the responsibility of the American government and not its function to do anything about. If you want to start a voluntary charity, fine, to help these people. I myself think that the best thing the American government could do is set an example of a real free country, morally righteous, and I think much of the world would hurry to imitate that, or would at some pace imitate that. And you would help spread civilization, have fewer countries that permitted this kind of atrocity. But when you have a situation where we're struggling in the United States to stave off tyranny, what can you expect of more primitive people around the world? They have nothing to guide them but primitive racism, collectivism, and no idea of human rights, and they're not getting the idea from us. And I'll have to take one last question. I understand why it is irrational to expect the unearned, but why is it irrational to accept the unearned? Well, I would say it depends. On the spiritual level, you can't accept the unearned honestly without deluding yourself. Because if you knew the facts, if you faced the facts, it's impossible to accept it. For instance, if somebody, you decide that somebody loves you or somebody tells you they love you for A, B, and C, and you know you don't, but you're going to accept the unearned, how are you going to accept it? What good is it to you? It's a total pretense if you know that it's unearned. And in fact, you couldn't accept it. You have to lie to yourself. Now, on the physical level, it depends what kind of unearned you're talking about. If, for instance, a criminal known to you gives you the loot to stash, to store, to be the fence, or just to enjoy, then, of course, you're an accessory after the fact in accepting the unearned. You are helping him to violate someone's rights. But suppose this situation. A lawyer calls you up and says, Mr. X picked you out of a hat. He wanted to give somebody in this town his $10 million, and he picked you up. I would say, take it. You didn't earn it, but you're not violating anybody's rights in the process. You're not deluding yourself. The man who owned it is giving it to you. So if you call that the unearned, well, it's the unearned in the sense that you didn't do anything. He doesn't know anything about you. It's like winning a lottery. Should you accept it? I mean, you didn't do anything. You put one ticket in out of 20 million or 50 million tickets. So, yeah, in those cases. But those are not the norm of life. And therefore, I wouldn't draw principles about the unearned from unexpected multi-million dollar inheritance or winning the lottery.
That's it for today. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, go ahead and ask me a question by writing to leonard@peikoff.com, or if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.